It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And let's see. Oh, my God. I shamed her into coming. I absolutely did. Cynthia's in the middle studio with Ann. Good morning. Well, I don't hear you guys. Well, I don't hear you guys because I have the wrong name. There we go.
Ann had to paddle down here through Burton Brook.
That was amazing last night what happened there with that. It really was. And we also have Janet Manko on the line, I do believe.
Good morning. Or read a newspaper.
That's right.
Just read. It makes your brain work differently. It's driving me nuts.
And we know James Patterson has a local connection, I think, right?
His son went to Hodgkin.
Remind.
Ann says his son went to Hodgkin, but also Maxine Petro, who lives in Amenia and is very generous with opening her beautiful garden for many of the garden tours, is one of his writers. She co-writes some of his books, and she has her own line that she writes with him under both their names.
Well, I see.
And there are just multiple.
All right.
And he's also given an award to the North Canaan Public School for their school library, and he gave an award to a local writer through Oblong, or he gave some kind of an award to Oblong Books.
He has a fund for independent bookstores, and Oblong Books was a beneficiary.
There you go.
So thank you, James Patterson.
Yes. On and on.
And he's really funny.
Yeah, I like him.
And a good teacher, apparently.
His 15 to 20 second commercials do a great job.
Yeah, it's like eat your heart out, Jim.
His personality comes right across.
He's a riot.
All right, so now let us go on to the paper. And you know what? When I saw this headline last night, when I actually stopped to get the paper, transfer station bids rise 1 million. Who didn't think that was going to happen? Because it's been 2 years since everybody voted on the money.
I said to Patrick, why do they wait so long to send out the plans? And he said, because they had to go through so many approvals. The approval process is so long and so slow. And, you know, everybody needs to, like, take part in the process and everything. So we don't want to say people shouldn't. But on the other hand, it's like, if it takes 2 years, then as you said, we all know the price
I hate to
goes
joke
way,
about
way
it,
up.
But I see that they're going to come up, they can come up with $500,000 in savings.
Which means they have to redo the plans, which means everybody's going to come back out and go, where's the scale?
That's exactly right. What do you mean you're cutting back on the asphalt? What do you mean?
Yeah,
that's exactly what's going
to happen. The safety fence. I know. It's maddening.
Hodgkin, be prepared to hold on to property for another couple of years. Well, the whole story is there with Patrick Sullivan.
Very detailed, good story explaining everything.
All right. Now, I love the picture of a covered bridge.
Patrick manages to go out and find a lovely young lady at the bridge. I drove by the bridge last night. It looks fantastic. It's just lit up and beautiful, and the wood is gleaming. It looks very modern, which I think is going to probably rankle some people. But it's going to be nice and quiet, which will also rankle some people, but it's safer. Yeah. And they did it fast. Speaking of Cornwall, I tell you, when stuff happens in Cornwall, it goes at a fast pace.
I don't know how much safer it'll be because wood is always slippery, but it definitely is quieter, and it definitely the wood will not wear out as quickly. They won't have to do this. So people should be happy that they won't have to close the bridge again for a while to do this work.
Yay.
All right. Below that, of course, is the incredible Falls Village Truck Bowl.
Which Patrick went to. You know, Patrick's not a huge fan of truck pulls, but he went and had a good time. And what a phenomenal picture. You can really get a sense of what's happening up at the Falls Village Rec Center. This originally was held in North Canaan, and they moved it over to Falls Village, where it's had a really devoted audience.
My introduction to truck pulls and tractor pulls was years ago. I donated my DJ services, and somebody won it. And I had to do twice. Once I had to go to New York City for 5 hours. And then the other thing was to do a truck pull. I emceed a truck pull.
Oh, my God, how funny.
Which lasts like about 6 hours.
How do you know? Do you know anything about trucks?
Well, you don't have to because you get there and they tell you. But still, it was 6 hours. Jeez. So I stopped.
Ann says that's the last time you donated.
Exactly was. Both of those were back to back. All right.
Ann's going to photograph a truck pull next.
Marshall, I've donated and regretted it sometimes, too. Right.
I won't talk about the horse show that I had to donate.
I don't even know about that. That's scary.
All right. Kindling a love for ceramic arts with Clayway.
Allison Palmer, who's so great and lives down in Kent and is married to, I mean, we hate, you know, it's funny because I always say, you know, Allison's married to Steve Katz, who is a founding member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Blues Project. But actually, most people who know them as a couple are like, he's married to Allison Palmer, who's a very respected ceramic artist around here and just super lovely. And it's like, oh, yeah, and there's Steve. He plays the guitar. So they're doing – she and a number of ceramic artists, including Kathy Wismar and the famous Joy Brown, who's world famous, are doing their annual Clayway, which is kind of like the studio tour, but specifically of ceramic artists, and it's all down in the Kent Warren area. And it's exciting because, you know, with painters and you know, they're working all the time and they're producing art. But with ceramic artists, what they're doing is they're producing art all year and then they fire it, and they're all firing like in the last 4 weeks. So Joy Brown, we had a story in last week's paper about her Anagamma kiln, which is this immensely long, deep kiln that's very ashy. And Joy Brown in these photos, or Allison Palmer in these photos, is setting her own, you know, they're closing up the kiln and setting that alight. And they really don't know until the kiln has finished, which takes a week, I think, what the ceramics are going to look like. Because when you glaze them, the glaze doesn't look the way it's going to look when it's done. So it's very exciting. And they're all creating stuff that's literally hot out of the oven for Clayway, Columbus Day weekend, which is coming up sooner than any of us can believe.
Absolutely. You've got a story. We all received the email from Curtis that the attorney for the town of Salisbury is contacting a separate person. There'll be an independent investigation into the accusations of what potentially and possibly did happen in Salisbury over the past 40 years.
Never a downside to doing an investigation. And I have to say that due process is an excellent thing, and we'll look forward to seeing the results of this, whatever the results are.
All right, we'll go to is it drought over yet? Absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, it's funny because even when it's pouring rain like this, and you're driving down the road and you see water rolling off the street, and even when you see it puddling up, people will still say, actually, it's a drought. So I talked to Denny Jacobs, who's the head of the Water Commission in Falls Village, where they've been on drought alert for over a year. And even he was kind of like, well, it could be over, but you have to really talk to the well guys. He said what really matters is what's going on below the ground. Then he said sometimes it just the water rolls off because the ground, the surface ground, just can't accept anymore. But he said that doesn't mean that the wells are full. And I saw Rick Stone from Cornwall, and he said, no, it's not over. There's still 18% drought in the Northeast. But that's a regional drought in the state of Connecticut. And we have the link for where you can go to check on this yourself. The state of Connecticut is no longer in a state of drought.
I can just tell you, I'm 65, and I've never seen Burton Brook do what it did last night. Never.
Well, I remember when I think there was that huge storm. Was it 2011? When the little creek that was running, I think that's Burton Brook also, that ran behind our old offices in Lakeville. Mm-hmm. When I feel like the water was practically up to the road level, and usually that water's like an inch deep.
But I've never seen it on the road.
The roads are filthy in Lakeville today. They're covered with dirt.
Come on, clean it up, Lakeville.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it'll rain again and clean
that's
it
right.
up.
That's right. All right. Now a story on the candidates' debate, which is coming up.
I'm going to let Janet talk about that.
That's right. It's coming up on Friday, October 12th. It'll be at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and we'll have the candidates from the 64th House District and the 30th Senate District. Come and hear what your candidates have to say about the issues. They'll hear lots of questions. We will have a student questioner from the high school, as well as media questioner Cynthia Hoxwender. And we will take, you know, the League of Women Voters co-sponsors this candidates debate with us, and we're so grateful for their help because they're very professional about it, and they provide the moderator, who will be Pat Donovan this time, and they help vet the questions so that they aren't repetitious, and they hand them to the moderator to ask the candidates. It's all time, so it won't take more than an hour and a half, even with four candidates, and we'll hear everything. So, and thanks to Marshall and WHDD and CATV for filming and videotaping it. It's just a great civic event, and come and hear your candidates.
And even though there are a lot of private meet and greets going on in the area for all of the candidates, it's a very different experience to see the candidates all together answering apples to apples kind of questions. It's really a great way to learn about who the candidates are and have an open mind.
And I just have one request to the candidates. Just put your candidates sign up. I don't want to see about veterans, women's, paramedics, lonely people. people who are looking for women that will support you. You know, it's just one sign on your property will do.
I kind of like those new signs. I think they're funny. They're very individualized.
I know these go on and on. I keep waiting for what's the next segment of the
population. I saw a new one last night, Nurses Back.
Yeah,
but, nurses, you know, it made you look, didn't it?
You can't help it when you see, you know.
I know.
I feel like it's lively. Instead of seeing the same sign, it's like, oh, it's the same sign.
But they're all at the same properties. So we get it already. You're supporting them. All right.
November 6th is coming. That's right. When everybody goes out to vote.
At least nobody's vandalizing the signs.
Well, I was going to say, where's a sign stealer when you need one?
Yeah. All right. That's a new experience. Okay. Don't encourage it, please.
I'm only kidding, folks.
Yeah.
Editor's Notebook of Bernie Drew, Steel and Rubber.
He went to Limerick Park and went to the Concours d'Elegance and saw Wayne Carini, who's been really a local fixture around here, well-known TV personality talking about cars, and Bernie talks about seeing him buying mini cars at one of the there's millions of vendor booths when you go to Lime Rock for vintage.
And you've got a picture on the inside of the world's most famous crash that's closed down really Lakeville for
it's
a long time.
It's been quite a month for
unbelievable.
We're all learning more and more about our neighborhoods.
At least they missed that fence.
At least they missed the fence. But actually, you know, we know there's somebody who lives on that street who I won't, you know, for their privacy's sake, I won't mention who it was. But really feels like it was keeping count of how many crashes there have been on that road in the last, I guess, what is it, 8 years?
A lot.
Yeah, since this couple moved there. But as you say, at least they didn't hit the fence.
All right. A track project wins approval at town meeting, the walking track, which is great in Sharon.
You know, people were at the town meeting and saying, why do we need a walking track? Who walks? And I think that people underestimate how many people in winter take part in the Sharon Rec program walking at the indoor track at Hotchkiss, which is an enormously popular program. And it's nice for them to be able to walk outdoors in summer. I think that everybody needs a little vitamin D. So the track is almost done. It's very beautiful. Matt Meddy's done a great job of really spiffing up Veterans Field and making sure that there's stuff available there for people, including a bathroom, and making sure it's well-maintained and beautiful.
All right. I use the track. It's a real safe way to walk.
Yeah.
You're not on the road. You get it's just
fresh air.
It's really good. All right. Beware the reddish fog at ShireCon.
Who wouldn't have wanted to go to this? Patrick and I both went separately. He texted me and said, watch out for the reddish fog. And I said, what are you talking about? But, you know, there are all these games. There are like a guy called Tom Wilson who grew up in Falls Village and is a very competent guy. He has set up this extremely professional, mini convention. And at the center on Main in Falls Village, and a lot of people there and fully engaged in the games that they were playing. Like, this was the real thing, and there were guys that you could tell are professional game masters there. And they had a game in the morning, a game in the afternoon. They had some stuff for sale. They had artists there. Having gone to a million conventions with my daughter, who likes these conventions, I'll tell you, this is a really good fair. So he's hoping that it will grow bigger and bigger and that eventually they will spread across the street into the senior center and who knows from there? Maybe Hotchkiss, maybe Houstonic.
All right. Alfresco's restaurant gets a story and a color picture.
You know, they'd put off letting us interview them for a long, long time because the owner didn't want to – he was afraid he was going to get overwhelmed with business, which is very a rational thing to say because that does happen to restaurants. I think that he's had a very quiet opening, and Lila Hawkins said that part of what the problem was is that a family member was supposed to come from Italy and be the chef there, and then this family member had a child who had a medical situation come up, and that's why he was understaffed partly. So he's kind of figuring out how things are going, but everybody I've talked to who's eaten there has said it's really, really good. And it's like that movie Big Night. He's trying to explain to people how to eat Italian style, so he's going, no, pasta's not the main course. It's one of the entry courses. So you have like, when you eat in Italy, you have like seven small courses, and the pasta course is one course. So he's saying that's really how we're trying to serve here. And he's also annoyed because he's making fresh bread and people keep coming in and eating all the bread. So try and learn Italian style eating from Alfresco.
All right. And Patrick Sullivan, True Tales of False Papers in State Litchfield County.
So Pete Vermillier wrote this wonderful book. He's written a series of books about life in New England in the old days. And of course, he's an award-winning teacher from Housatonic Valley Regional High School. One of the most interesting people ever when you talk to him about history. He's the only person that's ever made me super interested in the Civil War. And he gave this lecture on counterfeiting in Litchfield County back in the early days of the state. And as Patrick said, you know, the great thing about going to a Pete Vermilier talk is you don't really have to do anything. He makes it so interesting. You just have to write it down. So, and Patrick, of course, is great at summarizing these long talks, and is a fascinating story and worth reading.
All right. He's all over the place, Patrick, because helping Housatonic get better grade.
That's right. So Ian Strever, and actually Patrick had gone to a meeting and said, it's too complicated. So he went and he met with Ian Strever, the new principal at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, who gave him an excellent, excellent explanation of the grading system. And I think that since everybody's very anxious about this continuing from, you know, the last couple of years, people should read this article and try to, you know, really listen to what he's saying.
I love the picture on page A6, the Sharon Hospital alumni picnic.
It was indoors this year. Usually, yeah. I get a nice outdoor photo, but so it's a nice group. And I have to say, you know, sadly, it's getting smaller and smaller. It's the nurses, staff, and recently the doctors from Sharon Hospital who are still in the area, and actually many of them come from outside the area, and they just have a nice little picnic and they tell stories. And in what they often say is, you know, we were really a group in a community, and if one person had a problem, we all had a problem. So I can't even remember how long they've been doing it. I guess about 8 years. The two ladies who started it no longer are really able to make it. Jack Hawley and Gail Hammond are running it now, and really a nice annual gathering.
All right. Now I like this. Praise the lard and pass the biscuits. That's yours, Cynthia.
I'm so into cooking with lard, yeah. And I'm scared to say to people when they come over.
My grandmother cooked with lard all the time.
Yeah, and you know, lard got a really bad rap for a while.
Well, look at me. Who would guess?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you ate more lard now, who knows? So actually, I did all this research on it, and it turns out that lard is actually better for you than coconut oil and Crisco, which I keep using. I'm like, oh, I would never use lard. I use Crisco. It's actually really good for you. So it lengthy explanation in this article, but I'll tell you, I've never made such good chicken. And so now, first I was like, I'll use lard maybe once for this experiment. And now I have to hold myself back. I want to use lard in everything.
All right. And tell us about the limits of lard zucchini.
They're not that good for you. I'm sorry. They grow so big. But once you cook them, all of the vitamins that are in them are the kind that sort of dissipate with heat and with water. So pretty much like anything you're doing to this zucchini, you're... But here's the thing with eating fresh fruits and vegetables. We don't actually know all the things that they do that are good for us. So whenever people say, well, I just take a pill or I'm eating a protein bar, there's all the stuff that someday, like 10 years from now, people are going to go, well, we thought it was just vitamin C and potassium and I think it was vitamin B6 or something that's in there. But actually, what you're really getting from zucchini is blah, blah, blah. So if nothing else, what you're getting from zucchini is they have a lot of fiber. They have a lot of liquid. We're all dehydrated, even though it's been raining so hard. It's always good to eat local. But my goodness, what do you do with those big zucchini? I have a recipe for soup. Try it out.
All right, Christchurch, their big car concourse. Michael Rand's Minor was the People's Choice. That's just it's bigger than a mini. That's why it's called a Minor.
Yeah. I don't know who Michael Rand is, but everybody keeps saying, like, oh, Michael Rand. So
you don't
yeah.
know Michael?
No.
Oh, he used to be the manager of Lime Rock Park.
Oh, okay.
He's
well, there you
guy.
Go.
He's just a real nice guy on top of it all.
Okay. So, but yeah, this is going to be quite a car show. I think it's the second or I think it's the third year they've had it out on right near the clock tower, and very popular and lots of beautiful cars.
All right, we are at 51 past, so I want to go to the editorial page. A blast of fall outdoor activity not to be missed. Janet, the stage is yours.
Thank you. You know, sometimes you just have to take a step back and realize what is available to us to do around here. And this is one of those times because a lot is happening, and take advantage of it. Get outside while the weather is good and before the snow flies and the skis come out. And we have suggestions to do that, including the last weekend of Housatonic Heritage Walks.
Yeah, that's I think it's a two or three weekend event. And there's so many different walks throughout the tri-state region.
It's four weekends. It's every weekend in September, and it's amazing how many they have. 63 walks, and so they're programmed. They really have excellent guides, and it's a whole different way to experience what's around you.
And I'll just say, Peter Steiner. That's all I'll say. Look at the editor. Look at
yes.
the cartoon. And I like Mike Dukas. I like his sense of humor, too. Mike Dukas column also, plus the other columns that you have.
Yes, we have Blake Levitt, the second part on Cricket Valley. We have Dick Ollis on An American Disease that's been around for centuries. Take a read on that. Pam Vogel talks about a task force to support students and families. So read that, too. And lots of good letters.
All right. Before we get to Compass, we'll just plug a very, very, very big Tri-State Real Estate section, which is in the paper this week.
Right. So much going on with properties in this area. Take a look and see what's available.
I wanted to buy everything in there this month.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
All right. Now, live from Studio B, it's time for Compass with Anne.
I don't have too much to say this week, Marshall, but we have a lovely story by Stephanie Coven, who's a book editor in New York, and or she's a book agent, I mean, in New York, but she has found herself through hiking, and this is part two of her hike up Bear Mountain, and she talks about her life and what hiking has meant to her, and this is her coming down the mountain. And it's a nice story, and it kind of makes you think about why we all like to live here. We have a review of Michael Moore's new movie by Carl Salater, and when Carl said he'd like to review it, I thought I knew what he was going to say. I thought he would immediately think it was the most fabulous movie ever made, but he's very judicious in his praise and lack of praise for the Michael Moore movie. Michael Moore can bang you over the head in a way that some people find offensive, and Carl just talks about the film is called Fahrenheit 11/9, and it's about a lot of things, but it's about the current political situation mainly. Anyway, it's a good, fair review, and he doesn't say that it's the best movie ever made, but he doesn't say it's the worst movie ever made. Then we have a lovely review by C.B. Wismar of the Arthur Miller play called All My Sons, and it's at the New Milford Theater Works. It'll be there through October 13th. And according to CB, it's a really great play. And we don't see that play that often. So I would say if you're interested in Arthur Miller and theater, this would be a good time to see it. We also have a movie review by Leon about Juliet Naked, which is, according to Patrick, has no nakedity in it.
No, it doesn't.
But it's, so the title's misleading. If you're looking for nakedity, you won't find it in this film. It's really a good story. It's based on a book by Nick Hornby, who's an English writer who did High Fidelity, and about a boy, and wrote the screenplay for Brooklyn. Anyway, it's a story about a couple in England, and the husband is obsessed with this rock musician who disappeared, and somehow the wife and the rock musician start communicating, and it goes from there. Right. And that's the end of Compass for today.
I love the robe in the Arthur Miller play. I love the picture of that robe.
Oh, yeah. And there's one other thing. There's a very good show at Hotchkiss called Forest, Field, and Water, which is a history of the landscape. And it includes new photographs by Tom Blagden.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
That's the Lakeville Journal, of course. Much, much more at Lakeville Journal on newsstands and also at tricornernews.com and on Facebook. Are you on Instagram yet?
No, I am.
All right.
Yeah.
And that we are personally.
And Day 13, follow me.
She should follow her.
And Day 13, and with an E.
We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thanks, have
a great week.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. As I said, tricornernews.com or also on Facebook.